The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Don't settle for dealership financing when you can apply for a low-rate vehicle loan at DuPage Credit Union. Visit DuPageCU.com. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured. DuPage Credit Union. Banking inspired.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We're with you until 8 o'clock on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. You can call us at 312-332-3776. We'll take your phone calls. We're going to talk some football because last night we had the breaking news here on the show. Around like 6:40,
pew, pew,
that Brian Kelly was heading to LSU. And really, that's been the top story in sports today, is the fallout and the reaction to Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish having to now hire a new head coach, the chances of Notre Dame possibly getting into the college football playoff. You know, on Tuesday nights, they released the new rankings. So within the next 15, 20 minutes, we'll give you what the new rankings are in the college football world.
They're going to drag it out.
Yeah, for sure. But we'll give you the full list coming up here on Black and Abdallah. But Notre Dame has a chance, and Brian Kelly jumps ship, and he's heading down to LSU, which you could argue LSU is one of the five core powers of college football. It's Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, LSU, and Ohio State. Those are really like the core teams that every single year are fighting for national championships. If you look at the last, you know, 15, 20 years, the majority of championships have fallen within those teams in the SEC and with Clemson. I know Georgia hasn't yet won, but they've become a power since Kirby Smart took over. And basically, before Kirby Smart got to Georgia, you could swap out Georgia for Florida when Urban was at Florida, and that would be the power that would replace them in the SEC. But LSU has been there. And Brian Kelly going to LSU and the news that was broken last night with that happening has really sent shockwaves throughout the sports world, but also it's all a reaction to what we saw on Sunday when USC plucked Lincoln Riley out of Oklahoma, and then LSU thought that they had to do something that was equally as bold as what USC did, or else they weren't going to get a guy of that caliber in this coaching cycle.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, USC, you're the USC fan. You've gone through this with, ever since Pete Carroll left, just mediocrity. You know what I mean? Like, trying to get back to that status of a powerhouse, but without a name. You know, just kind of like, here's a guy, you know, here's Ed Orgeron, who was interim for a little bit, and then here's Lane Kiffin, who ended up leaving, and then here's Clay Helton, and they weren't names. Like, you, to get recruits to USC, you need a name. Like, you need a guy who's going to go out there and actually recruit the state. And Lincoln Riley was recruiting the state better than people in the state.
Yeah.
Him and Saban were recruiting the state better than people in the state. And now you see that all of these recruits that Riley had in Oklahoma that were supposed to come there next year are now going with him to USC. So it's a big windfall for you guys at USC. But that's what you need. Like, you need some of these programs that, yeah, you can just recruit because of the name on the chest. Like, that's fine. And like the school and the program and everything like that. Like, that's cool. Like, you can do that at LSU. But in order to compete with Saban, with now Kirby Smart, with Jimbo Fisher, with Napier at Florida, with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. Because people will be like, oh, Lane Kiffin's a joke. Lane Kiffin's probably the best recruiter out of all of them. He's just not at the better school. Like, yeah. Lane Kiffin's the best recruiter out of all of them. But the problem is he can't say come to Alabama anymore. He can't say come to Georgia. He can't say come to LSU. He's saying come to Ole Miss. And some of these recruits are like, well, I want to go to Alabama. I want to go here. But still, like, Lane is relentless. Like, we've heard stories of Lane texting recruits and other coaches having to be like, dude, you got to back off. Like, he's already committed to my school. Like, what are you doing?
Lane Kiffin, even at his days at SC, a part of what made Pete Carroll so successful was that he had two of the very best recruiters in the entire nation on his staff.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ed Ogeron and it was Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned all the different names at USC that USC fans have been waiting to get back to that Pete Carroll era. And it was like, Lane's a really good coach.
Yeah.
He's borderline elite now. The problem was when he was at SC, he was too immature. Mm-hmm. He wasn't ready for it at that time. Like now, it's debatable whether or not he would do a great job. Now, I think he probably would do a great job if he got the job now for the first time at USC. It's a different thing.
It's like Josh McDaniels. Like, make that comparison.
Yeah.
He had a big job, didn't work out, he had to go back. And now he's probably ready for a big job. He's probably ready for another NFL coaching job. Whereas, like, Lane's not going to go to the NFL, but Lane had to get the big job and then go to, you know, Florida for a little bit or FAU and then have to go, and then go to, you know, Miami. And now he's at Ole Miss. So you have to rebuild a little bit. He had to rebuild his character, his personality, what people think of Lane Kiffin, right? And it's successful. And he's a great recruiter. That's the old, like, you're going to recruit well at LSU just because you're LSU. But, like, if a kid is debating LSU, Alabama, Texas A&M, Georgia. Like, is Brian Kelly the one that's going to change his mind?
Well, and it's crazy. If you look at the...
And, like, speaking of it, Ole Miss is up to number 8.
Yeah, if you look at the SEC, in the SEC, he's recruiting against Nick Saban, Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach, Jimbo Fisher, and now Brian Kelly are all in the same division in college football. Not the conference. They're all in the SEC West. All fighting for the same landscape, the same recruits, and trying to figure it out. So there you go. It's Brian Kelly to LSU for more money, which it does make sense in his situation. If I'm LSU, I don't know if that's the coach that I would want. Like, I know it's a big swing. I'm not sold that that's the guy I would be thrilled about. Mm-hmm. I would be more excited for LSU if they landed Matt Campbell. Or maybe Luke Fickell or one of those guys.
I'm skeptical of Fickell. You know that.
Todd and Crystal Lake, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. Thanks for talking to me again.
No problem, man. What's going on?
Just following up on the whole, debacle that's about ready to happen for LSU. And, you know, Notre Dame, it's good riddance for Kelly because he wasn't taking him anywhere. And he's got to know that even if they back into the playoffs, like, if he stayed in Notre Dame and they backed into the playoffs this weekend, you know, the only way he's going to get a game under his belt is if he gets paired with Cincinnati again and somehow manages to beat them. If he gets paired against anybody else, oh, my God, if they go up against Georgia in the first round, I mean, it's going to be embarrassing. Jack Cohen at quarterback, for God's sakes. I mean, these guys, he knows they've got no firepower. He knows they don't belong in the playoffs. And I'm a lifelong Notre Dame fan, so it hurts me to have to admit this. I want them to be good. I want them to be dominant again. But the only way they're going to get there is to get some new blood in there, get a better, you know, offensive game plan going. I don't know if touchdown Tommy Reese is the man that's going to, you know, elevate that. But, you know, they got a lot of work to do. And Until somebody comes in and, you know, gives them the cool factor that Lincoln Riley is going to give USC and get some mystique going there and lures players that want to play, you know, hardcore football there. And I don't want to hear any of this crap about, oh, the academic standards are too high. You know what? Stanford's academic standards are high, and they got David Mills. They got Andrew Luck to go there. I mean, there are quarterbacks out there with brains that can actually play ball. There are linemen out there with brains that can play ball. You just got to convince them to come to Notre Dame instead of go somewhere else. So, I mean, the Brian Kelly era is over. Good riddance. And whoever they get, at least it's a step toward possibly improving.
Thanks for the call, Todd. Appreciate it. You know, in the whole conversation with Notre Dame and trying to figure out where Notre Dame fits in the whole conversation of college football, Abdallah, I think is also an interesting one because obviously the mystique and the tradition is there. There's almost nobody in college football. I can think of maybe two schools, Alabama, USC, that has the rich tradition. Maybe Michigan as well. They're the all-time leader in wins in college football history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are very few schools that could argue the tradition of Notre Dame football. It's not the late 80s anymore.
No.
And so I think you almost have to look at it as you're on the tier with Penn State, in Texas, mm-hmm. I know Texas hasn't been good as of late. Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And some schools in Michigan where you have a chance every once in a while to make a college football playoff, but you're not in that core group at the very top that is the elite of all of college football. And maybe you just adjust your expectations from there, because, like, I thought Brian Kelly did a damn good job at Notre Dame.
He did. And here's what you don't want, right? You don't want to bring in the wrong guy or go cheap and bring in... I'm not saying keeping an interim coach would be... Anybody that's on that staff is should get an interview, obviously, like that. But you don't want to go cheap, because you remember how big Nebraska was, like, when we were younger?
It used,
like,
to be a thing,
Nebraska,
man.
Nebraska was... And where's history, Nebraska now?
Nebraska used to... Now they've got Scott Frost.
Like, you don't want to turn into that, right? Like, right. You don't want to become irrelevant. And if you're Notre Dame, you've got the NBC contract, you're on national TV every single week. Because you're not in a conference, if you win 11, 12 games, you're going to, wow, they, oh man, okay. If you move to a conference, or they move, you know, they move to the, stay out of a conference, and when they go to 12 teams for the playoff, you're going to get an automatic bid because you're going to win 11 or 12 games every single year. Like, you'll be fine staying out of the conference. So you just have to find someone who can recruit the area, and that might be Fickell. He knows Ohio. He knows the Midwest. That might be his job. That might be the guy.
You know, and you look at Brian Kelly, his recruiting class for 2022, Notre Dame was fourth on 24/7 Sports. So, like, it's not as if he wasn't recruiting to South Bend. The only teams that had better classes for the 2022 class, Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M, Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher. Number five was Penn State. Number six was Ohio State. Number seven, Texas. So, like, Notre Dame being number four, it's not as if Brian Kelly couldn't recruit the South Bend. Mm-hmm. It's just now he's playing in a whole different place, a whole different, like, end of the pool, being in the SEC West, because every team in the SEC West is dangerous. Eric in LaGrange Park, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good, man. What's up?
So I just got off work. I put my head down, and I turn you guys on, and I'm hearing about the coaching carousel. So Brian Kelly's left Notre Dame. Where'd he go?
He's going to LSU.
Wow. Okay, that's a good pickup, I would say, because I agree with what you're talking about. Like, recruiting is important, and he has had good recruiting classes. But you got to coach the guys up when you get there, too. So, I mean, Ogeron, hell of a recruiter, rah-rah guy. You know, that was a magic year they had at LSU, and they capitalized. They won the title. And for whatever reason, the job's open this year. But, you know, you guys, I agree with a lot of what you guys are saying. I'm just happy I'm out of work now. I get to listen to it more.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate
Look,
you, man.
How far are we going to get removed from this championship and say Ogeron had Joe Brady and Joe Burrow? Like, he had a dude who, and I know I've crapped on Joe Burrow a lot for being a 35-year-old college player, but the dude was a full-time quarterback.
Sure, yeah.
And Joe Brady is one of the best coordinators in the country. And you can't tell me that, okay, well, what was Ogeron do? Like, Ogeron's a great recruiter. And sure, he got the players there, but trust me, it wasn't his scheme. Like, they were an offensive juggernaut because of Joe Brady and Joe Burrow. Simple as that. Like, this to me, like, how far are we going to get before we're like, look, like, yeah, Ogeron was there.
No, I think it's pretty obvious that Ogeron couldn't really do anything more with an offense or with what they already had. So, you know, it's something to continue with the conversation. The phone number is 312-332-3776. The top six in the new CFP is out. We'll tell you what it is coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah.
I got stories that'll raise the hair in your head.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I'm rather looking forward to it.
Black and Abdallah.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's Black and Abdallah. Weeknights, 6 to 8, right here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
We have the latest rankings for the college football playoff. Now, Championship Saturday is coming up this Saturday, Abdallah, for college football, and then Selection Sunday is on the 5th. So the day following, I think it's around noon that they will release mm-hmm. the four teams that are going to the college football playoff. So here we go. The final list heading into championship Saturday this weekend. All the conference championship games take place this weekend, Friday night in the Pac-12, and then everything else throughout the day. Number one, Georgia. The Georgia Bulldogs are the number one team. Number two, the Michigan Wolverines.
Hmm.
Number three, Alabama. Hmm. Number four, Cincinnati. Now, it's not surprising that those are the four teams ranked 1 through 4 to this point.
Yeah, it's okay. Not. I mean, Michigan did move up 3 spots.
Yes.
After beating Ohio State.
They moved up, but I think we would have guessed that this is the four that we would have for right now.
I would have put Alabama 2, not because I'm an Alabama fan, but I think that the committee would like a sexy matchup of 1 versus 2. This coming weekend.
Or because you're an Alabama fan.
No. I want the sexy matchup.
Or because you're an Alabama fan.
Why? What difference does it make? They're going to lose and be out. It doesn't matter.
Here's the intrigue. Now, Notre Dame, you lost your head coach last night. Do you have a shot at the college football playoff if someone loses this weekend? If someone loses.
Someone has to lose.
Or a Georgia or an Alabama.
Or Cincinnati.
If someone loses, will Notre Dame be the 5th team? The answer is no. Oklahoma State is now ranked 5th. Notre Dame stays where they were at 6. Ohio State moves to 7. Ole Miss at 8. Baylor 9. Oregon 10. That's your top 10 in the college football playoff rankings.
So there are a few scenarios here to play out, right? Georgia beats Alabama. Alabama's eliminated. Cincinnati moves up to 3. Oklahoma State moves up to 4. No problems, right?
That's going to be it, man.
Michigan beats Iowa. That's it, right?
I'm telling you, that's it.
That's it. Well, because I don't think
2 weeks ago suggest to you that Oklahoma State was the team that was going to get
in? Well, this is before, and I'm waiting for quotes here from the committee, but I'm wondering what not having Brian Kelly did. Because if you look at last week's, Notre Dame was ahead of Oklahoma State.
Yep.
They both won. They both won convincingly. I know that Oklahoma State's win is better than Notre Dame's win because Notre Dame just played a nobody, despite Stanford, who's nobody this year.
Stanford.
Yeah, but Oklahoma State's
a decent team.
I understand
Oklahoma's ranked 14th this week.
But you don't punish teams for winning. And moving Notre Dame down, not moving Notre Dame down, but having a team jump them is punishing them for winning. Notre Dame has the better loss. Notre Dame lost to a number 4 team in the country right now, and Oklahoma State lost to Iowa State.
I would say like this, too. It's noticeable that the committee made the decision before Oklahoma State even wins the Big 12, right?
Yeah.
Because the one thing that's going to put Oklahoma State over Notre Dame into the college football playoff
is winning
a conference championship, mm-hmm. which Notre Dame cannot do. So, like, this is a bold move for the committee to already say, sorry, Notre Dame, not only does Oklahoma State have to lose to Baylor, but also you need Alabama or Cincinnati and Michigan to all lose this weekend. So, basically, you need 3 things to happen for us to even consider mm-hmm. you as an independent getting into the college football playoff.
I also, like I said, the whole Brian Kelly not being there, going to LSU for $100 million or $95 million. So basically, here are quotes. On ND, Kelly's absence is part of the criteria. So they definitely took it into consideration.
Wow.
So sorry, Notre Dame.
Wow.
Gary Barta is saying that they took it into consideration that Brian Kelly is not there. So now, other scenarios. Georgia beats Alabama. Alabama's out. Michigan loses. Like, you could still have Notre Dame make it. If Michigan loses to Iowa, Alabama loses to Georgia, or Cincinnati loses to Houston, 2 teams. If you get 2 out of the 3, Notre Dame's in.
Well, what if Baylor beats Oklahoma State? Do you take that Big 12 champion and place them above Notre Dame to get them in?
Because 2 lost teams.
Okay. All right.
No 2 lost teams.
All right. No two lost teams. That's the Abdallah rule, by the
way.
That's not the committee's rule. That's the Abdallah rule.
Don't come at me when Alabama loses and says, oh, well, they're not in. I know they're not in. No 2 lost teams.
I think people should tweet you that, though, when they do lose.
They shouldn't.
Kevin Mount Prospect here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the college football talk. So, first off, Alabama is overrated even at number 3. Let's just get that.
Nope, you're right. You're right. You are right.
Oklahoma State deserves to be in the top four. Alabama does not, because they lost to Texas A&M, which we've established that they're overrated.
They're a ranked team, though. Iowa State's not a ranked team.
Look at their quality of wins. Who has Alabama beaten?
Yeah. Alabama's beaten Ole Miss, which is a number eight team.
A down Auburn.
Oh. And, well, they still beat them. They were, and they beat Arkansas, a number 22 team. They've beaten more ranked teams than Oklahoma State has.
Than Oklahoma State.
Who's Oklahoma State beaten?
Oklahoma.
And who else?
Soon to be Baylor.
Okay, well, I say at the time right now, Alabama's beaten two ranked teams. Oklahoma State's beaten one.
They're not ranked anymore, though.
Yes, they are. Arkansas is ranked. Yeah, Ole Miss is ranked.
Arkansas is the 22nd team.
Texas A&M is beat A&M, them. They're
A&M's
ranked.
25.
Iowa State is not ranked.
But anyway, okay. the reason for my call is I don't understand why Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly are both leaving their current positions when Notre Dame, better program than LSU. I don't care that LSU is in the SEC. They've made the college football playoff once in the last decade. Granted, that was a national championship season with Joe Burrow, but they've made the college football playoff once. Brian Kelly has led Notre Dame to two college football playoff appearances. Okay? USC hasn't been relevant since, what, Reggie Bush?
Yeah.
And Oklahoma has consistently won the Big 12, and now they're going to the SEC in a few years. So, to me, that would be a more attractive position than going to USC.
Yeah, Kevin, I appreciate the phone call. I think the current landscape, both teams have been more successful. Although, I would argue with you on the Notre Dame-LSU. LSU is a better job, hands down.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to talk about the history of programs, USC has a richer history, and it's a better program than Oklahoma. But Oklahoma has certainly had success, no doubt. And in recent history, under Bob Stoops at the end, and then under Lincoln Riley for the last 7 years,
mm-hmm.
they've been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
No argument there. But again, on the West Coast, there's almost nobody. You have to worry about Oregon, who USC doesn't play next year. And that's about it.
Yeah.
What are you worried about Herm Edwards at ASU? Come on. You're worried about whatever they're doing at Colorado?
No.
Please.
No.
I mean, so it's just a different thing. And the fact that Oklahoma is joining the SEC, I think even though Lincoln Riley has denied it in every television interview he's done, from coast to coast in the last 24 hours, I think it did have something to do with it.
Of course it did. Of course it did. Listen, Kevin's just full of bad takes.
Jarab in Crystal Lake, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, I just had a quick question, because I know you guys are talking about no two-loss teams make it, which I agree, but I'm a diehard Georgia fan, so the last thing I want to do is see Alabama in. But let's say, hypothetically, right,
mm-hmm.
Houston's only has one loss, right? Let's say they beat Cincinnati. I don't think Cincinnati is good to begin with. Let's say Baylor beats Oklahoma State, and let's say Iowa could beat Michigan. I know that's a lot to happen, but it could, right?
So sure.
Then you got Georgia, Notre Dame. Who gets in after that? Is Alabama in again if all that anarchy happens? Because then there's not another one-loss team left besides Georgia and Notre Dame. Well, obviously Georgia's undefeated, but you know what I mean. So then what happens?
Yeah, Abdal, how would you and good call, Jared. Appreciate the phone call. And since you're a Georgia fan, call again, all right?
Roll Tide.
We need to hear from you on Chicago's College Tailgate, okay?
I will do. Thank you.
Roll all right, Tide. Man, thanks for the phone call. Compare the resumes between Ole Miss and Alabama. If Alabama slips to become a two-loss team.
Alabama beat them, so they won the head-to-head matchup.
And that was, and they were up, what, by like 30 at halftime?
Yeah, it was bad. It was a bad loss for them. And then their other losses to Auburn, which Alabama also beat.
Right, so I'm going down the list here. They eliminate Ole Miss.
They beat Texas A&M, though, so they do have that, but that doesn't matter.
So, like, from what it appears, like, the team, I guess, you would have to watch if all anarchy takes place this weekend would be if Oregon wins Friday night and Oregon is
too low. They're too low.
But based on the situation of all these teams losing,
then everyone just stays.
Like, it's not going to be Ole Miss jumping up. The only team is Oregon at 10 who could win their championship.
Okay.
So if they also have too many losses.
So we're saying everyone loses so we're saying except for Georgia and Notre Dame, obviously.
Georgia moves on.
Georgia moves in. Notre Dame is in.
Cincinnati will be out.
Cincinnati will definitely be out. I don't know.
Michigan would be out.
I don't know.
So you need two teams.
I understand.
It could be Baylor and it could be Oregon.
If everyone loses, I think Alabama's still in.
No, not against two conference champions. If Baylor wins the Big 12 and Oregon wins Pac-12, I think then the conference championship teams would be moving.
You're not moving a team up eight spots.
Well, I'm telling you based on the theory. Follow with the theory.
I understand.
Of what's
I'm following
going on.
The theory. Oregon has two losses to a team that's ranked seventh, and who they lose to? Who's their other loss to? Hold on, I'm picking it up here. They lost to Utah, a 20. Get out of here.
I know, and they play Utah again Friday night.
Okay, so if they avenge that, maybe. Maybe.
That's what I'm saying.
But
is
I'm
that,
saying that if
that
you,
all happens.
Unbiased opinion. You've got a team that has a loss to the 25th best team and the number one team. The committee would probably keep them in.
Bruno, Southwest Suburbs, what's up?
You elevate your level of
Bruno.
Hey, guys. Hey. I predict that Luke Fickell will be the next coach at Notre Dame, following in the steps of Brian Kelly, who is also the ex-Cincinnati coach. Don't forget Notre Dame has strong ties to the city of Cincinnati. Faust, the high school coach, he coached at Notre Dame. He was a Cincinnati Molar. And he coached Notre Dame for a while. And don't forget about Lou Holtz. The 1 year he was under Woody Hayes as the defensive backs coach when they won the national championship in 68. So they got strong Ohio ties.
All right. Thanks, Bruno. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
All right.
I mean, I don't mind. I don't hate it. I think that's their best option. Right?
To Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Yeah.
Chicago's home for sports.
I like Bruno.
I guess.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Black and Abdallah. ESPN 1000. And now on digital FM at 100.3 HD2.
This Saturday, it's our final Chicago's College Tailgate of the season. Saturdays throughout the fall.
Can't wait.
At 11 a.m. And how about this? We are on the road again for the final show. Championship Saturday, Black and Abdallah. We will be at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook. So come on out. Saturday from 11 to 1. Talking college football, drinking Coors Light, and hanging out with you at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook this Saturday.
I'm going to do the beer mosa. A little bit of orange juice and a Coors Light. It's going to be great. The mounds are going to be blue. Maybe the orange juice will turn blue. I don't know how that works. I don't know how science works. If you put beer into orange juice, does it turn Coors Light into orange juice? Does it turn blue like the mountains?
I think it turns orange.
All right, we'll find out.
Yeah, but we'll have some drinks. We'll drink some Coors
Light. It's
going
to be great.
We'll talk some college football. We'll watch some college football. We'll preview the Big Ten championship game later on in the day and also the SEC championship game in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Lots to discuss, and also we'll predict what the college football playoff will be when they announce the Final Four on Sunday. It's Black and Abdallah talking with you here on ESPN 1000 at 312-332-3776. Now, yesterday on the show, we were talking about all these college coaches moving places and USC going out, taking a big swing on Lincoln Riley. It then turned into a chain reaction with LSU trying to take a big swing at Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. Both schools were successful, right?
I texted you my fear last night because I was sitting there.
You were having a fever dream last night.
I was sitting there and I was like, man, because it was right after the tweet came out about that Brian Kelly's deal might be worth $15 million a year. And I was like, man, people be spending. And then I was like, oh, no, you know who's got a lot of money? Texas. You know who's always wanted Saban? Texas. Oh, no. What are these college teams are just like, we can do whatever we want now. And Texas just calls Saban up and is like, hey, you want $20 million? And he'd be like, I guess, all right. And just goes to Texas for $20 million a year.
It was so strange. I look at my phone. I got home after the show, and I'm doing stuff, and, I'm not sitting on Twitter. And I just see a text message on my watch from my Apple Watch from Abdallah.
Big flex.
An Apple Watch is a big flex in 2021.
I don't know. I just like saying, you just like, so my Apple Watch.
Well, my Apple Watch with a crack in the screen.
That's fair. It does have a crack in
the screen. Okay. All right. So there's my flex. I would say this. I looked down. I saw it. And all it was Texas is going after Saban or something. And I was like, wait, what is happening? And then I'm searching. I'm like, they fired Sarkisian? Like, what is going on?
It was just my, like, all of a sudden it's like in the movie where, like, you zoom in on the person and, like, the background zooms in too. You know that shot? And it's just like, oh no, what if Texas throws a bunch of money at Saban? And I got real worried there for a second. And then I remembered he's 70 years old and not going to go.
Isn't
anywhere.
Spike Lee known for that shot? In movies?
Yeah, like everybody does it.
No, I know, but he's the one that's used it the best.
Who started it?
I don't think he started it, but I think he's the one that used it like the most frequently.
I remember learning how to do it and thinking it was the coolest thing. Not really. Like, I just remember the concept of doing it. Like, you walk towards the person while zooming out on the camera. And I remember learning that in high school and was like, this is the coolest thing in the world. And Cat TV.
All right.
Anyway.
So like I was saying last night, we were talking about the Bears and their situation and whether or not they could make a big splash and go after someone who currently has a job in the NFL right now, who's not fired, who's not going to be fired, but the Bears see an opportunity to maybe throw a lot of money or to change the fortunes of their franchise. And last night I gave you three names. I gave you Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you Kyle Shanahan. I gave you Mike Tomlin. You also brought up Pete Carroll.
I would like to remove that from the... I'd like to remove that. Again, it's the age thing. Like, I don't think... I forget that people age like we do. And I forget that Pete Carroll is like 90 years old.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's spry.
No.
Nope. Forgot about that. Watched that game yesterday.
I tried to warn you because he's hopping around on the sidelines.
I would like to officially strike that from the record.
So here's my theory on Sean Payton. I get it. He has a great situation with the Saints. It's logically not, it doesn't make a lot of sense for him to leave. But if Ryan Pace had a card to play to save his job, wouldn't the one card that he could play would be a callback to his time in New Orleans to try and lure the coach that he worked with at one time? Like, that is a guy he has a connection with.
Yeah.
And Sean Payton also, his success was tied to a quarterback. He does not have a quarterback. The reason they're not a playoff team this year is because they don't have a quarterback. The Bears and Ryan Pace, the one thing he does have is a young quarterback prospect that seems like this is going to work in Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I was pitching to you that maybe if the Bears wanted to be like USC or LSU, and when the coaching carousel in the NFL takes place at the end of the regular season, and if Matt Nagy gets fired, that maybe the Bears could take a big swing at someone like a Sean Payton. I know Nick tweeted us last night, what about Ron Rivera? I think that's also a very fine name.
I think we looked that up. He just signed like a new 5-year deal this year.
Money's money, though. If you got more of it, maybe you could pry someone out of that situation.
Yeah, but that's not how it works in the NFL.
So we talked about this last night on the show. And then this morning on Cap and Jay Hood, Albert Breer was on with Cap and Jay Hood every Tuesday morning at around 8:35. He joins the guys. The guys asked him about this same exact situation. He talked about NFL teams looking for their next head coach. This is Albert Breer this morning.
Yeah, I just, you know, what I'm going to be working on is kind of, you know, how the college, you know, coaching carousel. And I know there are a lot of Notre Dame people up there, right, like who've been following this pretty closely over the last 24 hours, has kicked into overdrive and what it's going to mean for the NFL. And, you know, I really think there could be a reckoning when it comes to coaching salaries at the NFL level. And, you know, there are, I believe at this point, 9 coaches who make $10 million or more. And I know that there are a lot of questions, like, why is that the way it is? When you look at what players make and the value of a good head coach in the NFL, and now with the new television deals, you know, you sort of wonder, is there going to be some sort of disruptor coming? And, you know, maybe it is. I think what would happen in college, guys, and this is what's so interesting about it, right? What happened in college is instead of, you know, USC and LSU going and getting the young riser, they just went and raided somebody else's coach. You know what I mean? So, like, you guys remember that, like, way back in the day, right? Like when Bill Parcells got stolen from the Patriots by the Jets, and when John Gruden got stolen from the Raiders by the Buccaneers, right? Like, I would not be surprised if maybe something like that, like, at least somebody attempts to do that, because it sort of feels like, you know, you see what's happening in the college game. Does that give an owner an idea? And, you know, and on top of that, you see a pipeline that's sort of run a little dry when it comes to obvious candidates, at least. And so, you know, I think it's something for you guys to watch, definitely, if there's going to be a change there where, you know, maybe one of the teams that's involved when we get to January, rather than just going and getting a hot young coordinator, goes and sees someone else's head coach and says, maybe if we give him more control, maybe if we give him a huge salary, maybe if we throw this other team some draft picks, we can pry our guy from somewhere else.
That was earlier today on Cap and Jay Hood with Albert Breer. I mean, that's basically what we were talking about last night, that someone's going to try and pry a coach who you don't expect to leave their situation. And then I then will push this forward to you, Abdallah, and ask you this. Look around the National Football League. What are the other coaching openings going to be? In most locations where there's bad teams, those are like first or second year coaches. So like, how many suitors are the Bears, if they make a move at head coach, how many different teams are they actually going to have to deal with? Maybe Seattle. Like, it doesn't seem like Pete Carroll is going to be there.
If he retires.
Probably past this season. But like, you know, is Detroit going to fire Dan Campbell after one season?
See, that's the thing. Like, you don't think there's going to be.
Carolina's not going to move off of Matt Rhule.
No. Are the 49ers tired of Shanahan?
Well, but Shanahan's a name. Like, if he's free, that's
absolutely
after him.
Absolutely.
But, like, look around the National Football League. Las Vegas, obviously, will be a team in play because Gruden was fired midseason.
Yeah.
But, like, outside of that, like, who's the obvious spot where there's going to be a new head coach? Like, the Jets, they're not going to move off of Robert Saleh already?
No, not after a year. They
Miami
wouldn't do that.
And Brian Flores?
No.
Like, there's not really a lot of obvious situations where there's going to be openings.
I think that if you look at it, unless people retire, which I don't think, I mean, Pete Carroll, I mean, I don't think they're going to fire him. I can't think of a lot of places where you're going to get new blood in there. The Giants aren't going to fire anybody. I don't know. This might be a record low year for coaching vacancies. It could be the Bears and maybe one other team. And, I mean, you never know. We don't know what goes on up there. They might not move on.
Well, yeah, Nagy. Right. This is all under the context
assuming that they're going to move on.
Of possibly moving on, right? Anthony in Arlington Heights, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good,
you know, listen to the show when I'm on my way back from work. But, you know, you guys can talk about all the coaches you want. Until that organization at the top changes, literally changes. My 99-year-old grandfather just passed away. He has been one of the longest-running Bears season ticket holders that the Bears have, and since the Bears were at Wrigley Field. And he told me this before he passed, that the Bears will never win another Super Bowl until this organization either sells or completely changes their motto and changes their ways. And you can bring in Belichick, you could bring in Marv Levy out of retirement, you could bring anybody you want, and nothing is going to change unless you let a coach and a GM truly pull the trigger on draft picks and free agents. I like to listen to what you guys have to say.
Thanks for the call, Anthony. Could you imagine if the Bears hired 96-year-old Marv Levy?
No. They could get Pete Carroll instead.
It's close to that, right? Like,
he's younger. Spry.
Big game Pete. I mean, spry. Come on. No, listen.
Spry.
Here's what Pete should do. Pete should settle into that Fox set. You know, Stoops, go help Oklahoma out.
Yeah.
Take Pete back, and Pete can sit on the set with Reggie Bush and Matt Leiner and get ready for the big nooner each and every week. And they'll have half the games right there at the Coliseum because SC's going to be back.
It'll be easier to funnel cash into that system.
Yeah, why not? I heard the herd today already trying to make his moves be on the sidelines. I'm going to buy a suite.
I'll be there.
That's who he was talking about with Joy.
Of course he does.
He's going to have a suite.
Of course he will.
All right, the song of the night with Black and Abdallah is up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at 3Chi. That's the number 3CHI, the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. Visit 3Chi.com for more info and use promo code ESPN21 for 5% off.
It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Download the Black and Abdallah podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Weeknight 6-8 right here on ESPN 1000. We'll take your calls at 312-332-3776. Around 6:50 each night here on Black and Abdallah, we like to bring to you the song of the night. You said to me in the commercial break, this song is going to get stuck in your head.
I love this song. We're going to start. I'll talk during
it. Well, I was going to say, and the song that got stuck in your head last night was...
Not That Maggie. Damn it.
Back in time.
All night. Just like the end, too. Not like the part. Whole song. Yeah.
If you want to know why we were playing that song last night on the show, listen to the podcast, mm-hmm. Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. Mm-hmm. It's now time for the song of the night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Black and Abdallah's song of the night.
Yo, Lynn.
Song of the night is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, Indiana, and more at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Tonight's song of the night, Gorillaz, Clint Eastwood from 2001. It's your song of the night. We're on 6:50 each night with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000.
I'm happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine.
Good job.
It's not the first time I've heard this song.
The future is coming on. I ain't happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. In a bag, I'm useless. But not for long. The future is coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on.
Yeah. It's coming on. Finally, someone let me out of my cage. Now, time for me is nothing cause I'm counting no A's. Nah, I couldn't be there. Nah, you shouldn't be scared. I'm good at repairs and I'm under each snare. Intangible, bet you didn't think so, I command you to. Panoramic view, look, I'll make it all manageable. Pick and choose, sit and lose, all you different crews. Chicks and dudes, who you think is really kicking tunes. Picture you getting down in a pit of tube. Like you lit the fuse, you think it's fictional, mystical, maybe. Spiritual hero who appears in you to clear your view when you're too crazy. Lifeless to those, the definition for what life is. Priceless to you because I put you on the high shit. You like it? Gun smoke, you're righteous with one tongue. Right. You're psychic among no possess you with one though.
All right, so why? Clint Eastwood by the Gorillaz came out on March 5th, 2001.
Okay, still waiting for the connection.
There is none.
Oh.
Yesterday, all right. The last two songs of the nights I have not liked, so I took it upon myself to pick the song without consulting you, and that's I love this song, and I wanted to pick this song, and so I picked this song.
I would say there is some historical bookmarks that took place on this date in music history, but I would say they're all a bit problematic, no?
Yeah, we're not going to touch those. Like, we could have gone for the trifecta if R. Kelly would have put out an album. Jeez. Turn up Del for me. This is Del the Funky Homo Sapien. He's one of my favorite rappers. I love Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Did you know?
Did I know?
A little did you nosy.
Give it to me.
Did you know that Del the Funky Homo Sapien is Ice Cube's cousin?
No, I didn't know that.
Now you did.
Well, like, the thing about this band, when it was released in early 2001, was like, who are these people, right?
It's the dude from Blur. It's David Alban from Blur. And then just a bunch of other people.
But all of their videos were cartoons.
Yeah, they've had De La Soul in songs. They've had a bunch of people come and go. Maybe Staples. They've had a bunch of people come and go in their songs. Their shows are great. They put on a great live show before. It used to be just a screen, and they would stand behind it.
That's
and
awesome.
Their bodies would be animated as they would perform. It was really cool.
The song Clint Eastwood is named after the actor because they think this song sounds like the theme music to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
That's cool.
And that's why they named it Clint Eastwood.
That's cool. I'm glad that there are a lot of Del the Funky Homo Sapien fans out there.
Yeah.
I mentioned him the other night. You weren't here. I was like, I could have done a Deltron song. Or not a Deltron song. Del the Funky Homo Sapien song. And I didn't.
Yeah.
Because there's too much editing. And I don't feel like editing. There's only two words in this one I got to edit. But I love Deltron. Like, someone's mentioning Deltron 3030. That's like one of the best albums ever. That's such a great hip-hop album. It's so weird.
Okay, for this, like 2001, you and I were in high school, right?
Yeah, oh,
and
this like, is a great driving song.
Yeah, this is a cruising song.
You want a weed? Listen, y'all know my style. This was the weed smoking song in 2001. Like, this was the song. You drove around and listened to Clint Eastwood and smoked. That is what you did.
Who was your crew?
Who else, oh, God.
Who was in the car?
Who's me, Roland, a.k.a. Andrew. Matt Gelbach. Sean Peterson. Fish.
I remember Fish.
Tony Andrulis. I think I've seen Girls with Tony.
You're rolling with the crew there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a crew. We definitely had an eclectic crew. We had a guy named Fish. Oh, man. This whole album's great. All their albums are great. I don't think there's a bad Gorillaz album. They're weird, but they're good. They're really good. They're very talented. It just kind of goes here. You can cut it off whenever you want to. I cut it off.
I'm vibing, man.
I cut it off. This is like 6 minutes, man. This is like 6 minutes.
No, this is great. Someone's driving. They're sitting in traffic.
It's so simple.
They're nodding their head.
Someone referenced Catch a Bad One. That's great. I love it. I love the Dell. I love the Dell fans.
Gorillaz, Clint Eastwood. It's your song of the night with Blacking Abdallah.
Turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
More football talk coming up in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.